Are you the plumber? Pat Lushington asked. The newcomer frowned. I don't think so. Please, may I use your telephone? The thing about him was that he looked normal. That should have made him stick out like a sore thumb in a neighbourhood where everyone who called at the front door was either an elf, a dwarf, one of the half-witted local humans, or a delivery man. And she knew both of them by sight, a very old man in a flat hat and a beanpole teenager who never stopped eating. The newcomer was dressed in concrete-coloured slacks, a light blue short-sleeved shirt and white trainers, all perfectly clean and tidy, mid-30s, good-looking in a gormless sort of a way. If he was on TV, he'd probably be playing a vet. Normal, therefore, in context, all wrong. Also, he knew about phones. You're not from round here, she said.
I don't think so. I really do need to make a call.
Euphemism for toilet facilities? He had that air of desperation about him, but he was a man, and the foothills of the mountains in which stood the great gate of what Pat had resolved henceforth to call Mariposa were full of shady crevices, and a few hundred yards further down was the forest, offering an outstanding choice of trees. In which case, she could only assume, he wanted to use the telephone. Odd.
Well, she said, we haven't got a landline because they can't connect one up through the what's it, though that's not what they told us when we came here. A landline, high-speed broadband, and cable TV, they said. Now it's, oh, well, we're hoping to have all that in place within the next 2 years going forward. Honestly, it's been like that with everything. If we'd known what we were letting ourselves in for, we'd have stayed where we were. And you try and get a plumber. Forget it.
Okay, the newcomer said with a twisted smile. I should be able to manage. I seem to have forgotten everything else. There was something about him that made her feel uneasy. Are you feeling all right? She said.
Yes and no. Look, I hate to be a pest, but do you have a phone of any sort? It's quite important.
She sighed. After all, the indications were that he was a fellow citizen of the civilized world, with a faint accent that was either Scottish or New Zealand, and a shirt made of polyester cotton rather than 30,000 interlocking steel rings. On that basis, he was probably one of us, and deserved her help.
I suppose you could use my mobile, she said. But you'll have to climb up the Gimbril Stair and stand on the ramparts of Mazad Bazan. It's the only place you can get a signal.
The historic Gimbril Stair. Although what had actually happened there to earn it, that sobriquet, nobody had ever seen fit to tell her. And she was quite sure she'd rather not know anyway. Consists of 109 spiral stone steps, and brings you out, panting and admiring the pretty twinkling lights just behind your eyelids, on the pinnacle of a wind-swept crag. She'd been tempted to say, through that doorway, turn left, you can't miss it, and let him find his own way. But the thought of a perfect stranger wandering about the place wasn't one she was comfortable with. He proved to be in pretty good shape, at any rate. He was hardly puffed at all after the abominable climb. He knew how to use a mobile phone, but all to no avail.
No answer, he said sadly, and handed it back to her. Just voicemail.
Aren't you going to leave a message after all that? He gave her a tragic look.
I wouldn't know what to say.
Pat Lushington's heart wasn't marble.
Come and have a cup of tea, she said. You look ever so sorry for yourself. his reaction to the decor in the morning room. She refused to think of it as the treasury of Zarad Pum, no matter how historic it might be, was interesting. He seemed not to notice. Now the locals all reacted with horrified fascination, while one of us would be vividly reminded of home. But the newcomer might as well have been sitting in a field for all the interest he took. The tea, though, seemed to go down very well. "Thank you," he said. "Can I have some more?" "Help yourself," she said. And he got up and operated the teapot as to the manner born. "I have to say, the local water's pretty good. It makes a lovely cup of tea." "It must be extra soft, or is it extra hard? I can never remember." The newcomer thought for a moment. "I'd imagine it'd be pretty hard," he said, "since it drains through all that limestone. I think I take sugar. Is there any?" She pointed out the sugar bowl. "You think you take sugar?" He nodded. "It feels like I do, but I don't actually know." He added a heaped spoonful, stirred and sipped. "Now I do. Yes, one sugar in tea." "Well, that's something." From a few stray shards of data she'd picked up along the way, she was beginning to piece together a working hypothesis. "You've got, what's it?" she said. "Thingy. Amnesia? That's the one. You've lost your memory." He beamed at her. "I'd rather think so, yes." "You poor thing. When did that happen?" Gentle smile. "Trick question?" "What?" "Oh, I see. Well, did you have a fall or something? Bang your head, that sort of thing?" He frowned again. "Not that I'm aware of," he said. "And I haven't got any unexplained bumps and bruises, no blurred or double vision, drowsiness or nausea. Of course, if it's transient global amnesia or dissociative fugue, you don't need a bash on the bonce to get those. Basically, though, yes. The first thing I can remember is waking up on the mountainside about a mile and a half north of here, and apart from a load of useless information about science, history, and the arts, the only thing in my head is a phone number, which I just tried calling, but no reply." He smiled. "And there you have it. You now know as much about me as I do." Pat looked at him closely for a while. "Actually," she said, "rather more."
"Really?"
"Yes, for a start, I can tell you for sure you visited a branch of Marks and Spencer within the last 3 months and bought a pair of trousers." He blinked. "Marks and Spencer," he said. "A large British-based chain store specializing in clothing." She nodded. "And you sound like you could be English, or Scottish, or from New Zealand, or possibly South Africa, maybe Canada. I don't think you're American," she added reassuringly. He considered that. "So possibly I've spent a lot of time in more than one of those places, which would give me a sort of 57 varieties accent. See? Aren't we doing well?" "That's a start," he conceded. "Where is this, by the way?"
"Ah."
"Ah," he repeated. "That's what it's called." She shook her head. "It's a long story." "I'm not in any particular hurry, if you're not." "Well," she poured herself some more tea. "It all started when my husband and I, my husband's Barry and I'm Pat, Pat Lushington, pleased to meet you. Anyway," she went on, "we were at this party, office bash, Barry's work, and some people we knew a bit were telling us about this amazing new scheme. Like moving to France or the Algarve, only your money goes much, much further. And it doesn't rely on the cheap airfares, because transportation is basically free. Well, we were desperate to get out of London, and Barry's always wanted to retire early and write his blessed novel. And the kids are settled, so we thought, well, why not? And here we are. That's wonderful. Only you haven't said where here is. She gave him a slightly cold look. I was coming to that. Apparently, it's all to do with something called multiverse theory. The newcomer sat up straight in his chair. You mean the one that says that a generic prediction of chaotic inflation is an infinite ergodic universe, which, being infinite, must contain Hubble volumes realizing all initial conditions? From which it follows that there's an infinite multiverse containing an infinity of Hubble volumes, which may or may not operate under the same physical laws as each other, depending on whether you agree with Tegmark, or Wheeler, and Smolin. Though, also see Everett and Feynman. That multiverse theory? A moment or so passed before she replied. Probably, she said. I really wouldn't know. I'd have to ask Barry. But anyway, this multiverse theory means you can zap across from our universe to a different one where property prices are ridiculously low and still get a phone signal and the UK newspapers. Well, a couple of days late, but it's not like there's anything much in them these days anyhow. The newcomer nodded. A Van Goyen portal, he said. Then he added, isn't that all still highly theoretical? She shrugged. Search me. Anyhow, here we are, and it's really quite nice once you get used to it. The locals aren't too bad. And anyway, they keep themselves to themselves, and we order in pretty much everything via the net. And if you place your order before 11 a.m. local time, you've got a fairly good chance of getting it within 48 hours, except for fresh milk, which is a pain. So we use the long life milk, which is okay in tea and coffee, because you wouldn't want to touch the local stuff, trust me. Barry had a tiny splosh of it in his Jamaican Blue Mountain, and that was the last I saw of him for the next 3 days. And of course, you can't get a plumber no matter what you do. Not even a pole. He nodded, waited a moment, then said, you still haven't told me where we are. What? Oh, right. I think it's called the Realms. I don't suppose it means anything, like there was a new estate down the road from us in Tottenham, and they called it the Elms, but there wasn't a tree for miles. I think the local youths dug them all up and sold them on eBay. But we don't have any trouble like that round here, thank goodness. The newcomer was thinking something through. You say your husband drank some local milk, and you didn't see him for 3 days? Did he turn him invisible? She laughed. He was stuck on the toilet, poor old soul. But the water's all right. Not like the Bristows in that ghastly place in Portugal. I see, the newcomer said. So you don't actually know where you are. She found that mildly annoying. Well, no. Not in a point at a map and say you are here sense. I suppose not. But it doesn't actually matter, does it? Home is where the heart is, my gran used to say. The newcomer nodded slowly. I think if it's all right with you, I'd like to try phoning again. By now she reckoned she could trust him not to loot the place or start pouring the contents of her underwear drawer. She handed him the phone. You know the way. He wasn't gone long. Still no answer, he said sadly. Did you leave a message? He shook his head. You said something about a Van Goyen portal. No, I didn't. Sorry, he smiled. You said there was a what's it? The way you got here, I'm guessing, since I don't think I come from this place. I must have got here the same way as you. Maybe if I go back through the what's it, I can find out a bit more. That seemed like a sensible idea. You could try that, she agreed. I think I will then. Where do I find it? Ah. His mouth twitched just a little bit. Ah? I don't actually know where it is. Fine. It sort of comes and goes, she explained. Probably because of multiverse thingy. But it's all right because the little men from the management company deal with all that, as well as doing the deliveries. If you ask them, I'm sure they'll point you in the right direction. Excellent. Where do I find them? Pat frowned. I couldn't rightly say, she admitted. They come here, we don't go to them. But we see them most days, when they bring stuff we've ordered from home. There's an old man who looks like Albert Steptoe, and a skinny kid who eats all the time. Something in that description made the newcomer blink. Right, he said. You look like something just rang a bell. Very fleeting mental image, the newcomer said, came and went in a flash, which would suggest I've met these people at some point. So you must have come through the what's it, like you just said. Probably something like that. There was a faraway look on his face, and she got the feeling he was preoccupied with something else. So when are these men likely to come here next? I don't know, she admitted. I'm expecting a Waitrose delivery, but that usually comes on a Thursday, and I know Barry's sent away for some DVDs and a new golf umbrella from Amazon, but if I know him, he'll have chosen the Super Saver delivery to save a few pennies, and that always takes ever such a long time. A terrible thought struck her as she spoke. The newcomer was, after all, one of us, helpless and alone in a strange land. The sacred laws of hospitality would, therefore, seem to apply. Fine, she was all in favour of sacred laws, provided they didn't park themselves in her home for 3 to 6 days, needing to be fed, housed, and entertained. But if the stranger were to look at her with those soft brown eyes and say, I don't suppose I could possibly wait here till they show up next. I promise I won't be a nuisance. What excuse could she possibly make? An ounce of preemption is worth a pound of cure. Here's a thought, she said. Terry and Molly Barrington live just down the road from us, and they're always sending off for stuff. You could try popping across to their place. Then, if they aren't expecting anything, you can come back and wait here. How would that be? It sounds like a very good idea. How far away is their house? Actually, it's a sort of tower. You can see it from our front door. Which was perfectly true on a clear day. And it couldn't be much more than 30 miles, 45 at the outside, and he'd have the flash of the sunlight on the tower battlements to guide him every step of the way, so not much risk of getting lost. And the Barringtons liked having people to stay, they'd said so often enough. "I'll make you some sandwiches," she said, as much to her conscience as to the newcomer. "We've got some cold chicken from the weekend." After he'd gone, she sat by the pool for a bit, reading her book. Several times she could have sworn the damn plant tried to tickle her ankles with its horrid fronds. But whenever she looked at it, it was perfectly still.